إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the comparison between the corporate world and Islamic principles and seeing how they result in success in our case, inshallah, in dunya wal akhirah. But if you look at the corporate world and what's happening, I've said this many times before and I say it again and again, that the world today is run by corporations. It's not run by politicians, it's not run by the military, it's or generals, or it is run by business corporations. And everyone else does their bidding. They do what they are told. And the reason that happens is because that's where the power lies, that is where the that's the driving force for the world. And the reason for that is their culture, is what they do and how they have created this culture. And if you think about this, all of this is, if I go back as far back as I can think of, the earliest that we can go to the, in the terms of the corporate world, is the East India Company, the British East India Company. So we are talking about the 1700s or so, roughly 1600s, 1700s. Whereas the Islamic system is from the 7th century. So it is 1,000 years, it was there 1,000 years before the first corporation in the modern sense came into being. But like everything else, only the practice can be taken to the market. I mean, this theory does not cut any ice. So yesterday we spoke about the issue of belongingness. We say, how much do we feel a sense of belonging to Islam? And I gave you examples from the corporate world of what belonging means. Let me give you another aspect to that, which is that from belonging arises a sense of identity. And that identity is something which a person who works in that corporation wears with pride. It is part of the persona of the person, and the person wears it with pride. They are proud to be called employees of such and such a corporation. They don't hide that, they flaunt it. And there are many symbols of that. Sometimes it's in clothing, sometimes it's in products and services, sometimes it's in logos, different kinds of ways in which this sense of belonging to that corporation is flaunted, it is shown, because the person is proud to belong to an organization of that kind. I remember I was teaching a course in Atlanta in Georgia, a GE course in a place called Peachtree Resort. It was a very fancy five-star hotel, five-star resort, huge thing. And the course, which is a Cronenville course called NMDC. So we were teaching that course. There were about 10, 15 of, or maybe more, of us trainers. It was a very large group, over 100 people. So in the evening, after the course, we used to have a debrief meeting in the restaurant. So we were sitting in the restaurant. One of our colleagues, he said, there is a Coke conference also going on here. So, do you mind if I invite some of those people to join us? So, he said, no problem, please call them. So, 8 or 10 of the Coke people, they also came and joined us. So, when they all sat down, the waiters came around and the waiter asked them, you know, for drinks, what would you like to have? So, when he went to the first Coke person, what would you like to have? He said, Coke. So the waiter said, I'm sorry, sir, but we don't have Coke, we have Pepsi. So can I get you a Pepsi? He said, no, I want Coke. Now the chap is stumped because he's telling him he does not have Coke. The Peachtree Resort had a contract with Pepsi. So he said, they don't have Coke. He said, can I get you fruit juice? I'll get you, fresh, we've got beautiful fruit juice. He said, no, Coke. Can I get you tea or coffee? Coke. Can I get you water? No, Coke. Now the man has already told him that there is no coke. So no coke. Then he went from this man to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, every single one of them. What do you want? Coke. Coke was not there. They did not drink anything. We were all sitting and drinking our fruit juices and tea and coffee and so on. They did not drink anything. And that meeting finished, they went away without having drunk anything. Now, on the face of it, it looks like, you know, insanity. And frankly, if you ask me, it is insanity in any case. Because I have always held and I still hold that anyone who drinks, a Muslim, from the Muslim perspective, saying, a Muslim who eats or drinks something that he does not know is skating on very thin ice. He is indulging in possibly in haram. And even if he is not indulging in haram, that's not because of his own being careful, but because of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't choose that for him. In the case of Coke and Pepsi, they openly state that they have a secret formula. And the strange thing which I have always mentioned is that in countries where it is legally, they are bound to write the ingredients on the can. This is across the board. Anybody, you cannot sell a food drink, food or eatable or drinkable thing without declaring what is in it. By law, it has to be done. But in the case of Coke and Pepsi, that law is not applied. This is a secret formula that is accepted. Why do you accept? How can you accept? Because if you are saying the ingredients must be mentioned, they must be mentioned. Simple. So, if you have a secret formula, then technically speaking, you should not be able to sell that drink in that market because you have a secret formula. You do not want to write the ingredients, which is the law of the land. But in the case of these two corporations, that law of the land is broken. There is no problem. Nobody asks anything. So, now as a Muslim, you are drinking something with a secret formula. You don't know what is in it. What does it tell you about your own iman? Quite apart from anything else, what does it tell you? Maybe it has only zamzam in it, something. And maybe they get some water from Jannah. We don't know. I'm just saying that they say secret formula and you drink it. What does it say about your iman? What does it say about your commitment to eating halal and haram? So, that's a different issue. But I'm saying this, since I mentioned Coke, I should mention this also. So, same thing applies. If you don't know what's in it, what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say about doubtful things? He said, leave the doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Something with a secret formula in it, is it doubtful or not doubtful? Yeah, this is a no-brainer, right? But we drink and we have no problem with that. So anyway, point to come back to the story, this is what they did. Now, my point is that irrespective of that, the issue is that here is a bunch of people who feel such a sense of commitment to their corporation. The corporation, they are not slaves. The corporation did not buy them. They are just getting a salary from the corporation, right? Still, they feel such a sense of commitment that they will not drink a product which is so-called competition for their own product. And as far as Coke is concerned, you might say, well, you know, how is fruit juice competition? How is water competition? How is tea competition? I'll tell you how it is, because the very famous story of the chairman of Coke, who in a meeting said, our competition is not Pepsi. He said, our competition is water. He said, our competition is anything which people drink. Anything which people drink. Now, that is a philosophy which these Coke employees were following in actual practice. Right? Now, does it give them power? Is that worth something? You tell me, because Coke is, if not the most valuable, definitely one of the top three valuable brands in the world today. Colored water, full of God knows what, and with a secret formula. It shows us what kind of world we have, but anyway, that's a different issue. But the point I'm making is that here is the power of commitment, the power of symbols, the power of following what applies to that corporation. Take that, link that to what we say in Islam with respect to following the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right. Just think about that. Just link this thing and say, if today people say, oh, what is the big deal? You know, your trouser above the ankle. What is the logic in that? What is the logic in drinking Coke? Yeah, from the story which I told you. And this is an eyewitness account. I was there in that meeting in Atlanta. So this is not something which I heard. I saw this myself. It's not a question of logic. It's a question of where is your heart linked? Do you and I have a sense of belonging to Islam, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his sunnah? Do I take a sense of identity, my identity, from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or do I take my sense of identity from somebody else? Now, as far as we are concerned in Islam, whoever that somebody else might be, that somebody else cannot be equal in rank, cannot be equal in goodness, cannot be equal in closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever it might be, I mean, maybe the best human being that you and I may ever have met, that person cannot be equal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what sense does it make as logical thinking Muslims if we are following the way of someone other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where is the logic? Where is the sense? Where is the intelligence in that? And I am not even talking about the spiritual benefits of that. With the sunnah, it's not just a matter of identity and so on and so forth. It's also the issue of the ajr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for following the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes any action which is done in accordance to the sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the person the ajr of ibadah, of actual worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the same action. You drink water, I feel thirsty, I drink water, I do it with consciousness according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only do I save myself from any impurity in the water and so on, because he said, look at it first, all of this. Not only that, but this drinking of water becomes an action of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually reward me for drinking that glass of water. Can you imagine? I mean, ajeeb, is sunnat ki jo barkat. But problem is, this understanding of it, we don't have. Like yesterday I'm saying it because let it go also on the Fajr reminder. You shake hands, we sit here, we make musafa after the Fajr reminder, or anyway you go to the masjid or whoever. You shake the hand of a Muslim brother with this consciousness that I am meeting my brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will forgive both their sins. Yeah, the famous hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man was going from one town to another town, one village to another village. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel. The angel came to the man in the form of a human being and asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to such and such a place. He said, for what? He said, to meet so and so. The angel said, what is the purpose of meeting? He said, no purpose. I'm just going to meet him because he is my brother in faith. He is my brother in Islam. The angel verified and he said, do you have some business with him? Did you lend him some money? Are you going to collect your money? Or are you going to give him some money? Or are you going for some other business deal or something? The man said, for nothing. I have no other work with that man. I am just going to meet him because he is my Muslim brother. The angel then manifested his real shape and the angel said, I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with bashara, with good news for you, to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu has forgiven your sins and has forgiven the sins of the man that you are going to meet. Ajeeb. See that. Now this is why? Because this is the sunnah. This is the whole issue of the coming together of the ummah, inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, if Allah gives hayat and tawfiq, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But today, let's think about that, this sense of identity and belonging. Do we have this with Islam? And if we have it with Islam, then this is expressed. I'm giving you data how we can measure ourselves. If I say, yes, I have it, then you should look at my life to say, what are the symbols of Islam in your life? And what are the symbols of Islam? The Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every single symbol of Islam is the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's nothing outside of that. If somebody says, I have a symbol of Islam which did not exist in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's a liar. He is a liar. Simple as that. Yeah. Any symbol of Islam is that which is in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's all we need to look at. In my life, what are the signs of Islam, which means where am I applying the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my life, and the converse of it, where am I breaking or going against the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously, it means that if I am doing that, then I am denying my own sense of belonging with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So yesterday we talked about the company we keep. Be with your kind of people, because that is what will reinforce your sense of belonging and identity, because you speak, everyone will speak the same language, they will have the same goals and foci, and therefore that creates this cohesiveness and belonging. And today I am saying sense of identity from our own symbols of Islam in our lives. Just like we do that in the corporate world, we recognize each other by language and we recognize each other by the symbols. Similarly, when we talk about Islam, what is the language and what is the symbol? By language, I don't mean Urdu or Arabic or English. I am talking about the language of Islam. Where does Islam come into my speech and language? Yeah? And sometimes something very simple. Instead of saying, thank you, say Jazakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. We use inshallah, we use mashallah, we use alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, all of these things are just very simple things which seem to be sometimes even superficial, you might say, but alhamdulillah, every single word of that is zikr of Allah in any case. So if you say inshallah, it's zikr of Allah. If you say mashallah, it's zikr of Allah. So you're getting reward for that in any case. I mean, see this, you cannot escape reward. I mean, as if somebody says, I want to escape reward, you can't escape reward. That much Allah has given. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the beauty and benefits of this deen and to consciously take it and adapt it and love it and keep it in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.